This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, back for one more here on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. Follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that. It's very helpful. This podcast is free wherever you get your podcasts. So all I ask from you is to hit the subscribe button, maybe leave a review, definitely leave a rating. 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars, 2 stars, 1 star. If you give me 1 star, you better have a good reason. You better be like Kayshawn Booty's mom or something. If that's the case, then by all means, leave me a 1 star review because I definitely earned that. But we're going to shift gears here. From why am I so mad to why is everyone else so mad? And there's two topics that I want to hit here, and it's going to be hinging on audio. And the first, and this was brought to my attention by a meeting a couple days ago where I was told that there was this big resentment forming and just anger toward Sean Payton for poaching Saints staffers. And to me, I'm like, why? What did you expect to happen? And I think maybe part of it is they're still mad about him going to Denver in the first place. And they're mad about him leaving and retiring just to with the sole intention of coming back somewhere else, which is fine. You can be mad at him about that. But I'm not mad at him for taking Zach Strief away from the Saints. Because why would you be? If the Saints wanted to keep Zach Strief on staff, they would have made him the offensive line coach last year, right? Like, Sean didn't poach Zach Strief. Sean gave Zach Strief the job that he already deserved, and the Saints did not give him. They hired Doug Marrone, who I think did a very good job in his own right. And here's what Doug said when I asked him about that hire by Denver.
You know, Zach, obviously that was Sean in Denver now. Was that a surprise? Did you expect him to go? And what do you kind of see for him going?
No, I think when people say surprise, it's someone that is probably not ready for a job. You know what I'm saying? That you'd be like, whoa, you know, I don't know. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think that, when I first got back there, you know, Zach was ready to be, you know, an offensive line coach. So I don't see it as a surprise at all. I see someone that's, you know, extremely smart, extremely attention to detail, someone that's, you know, very good technician, very good schematically, very good in front of the room, very good at explaining and coaching and communicating. So I think it's a great opportunity that presented itself for him, that one that he had to take.
So Doug Marrone says, I'm not surprised. He didn't go so far as to say he expected it, but he's like, I'm not surprised because he's ready for that job. He's ready for the job that I had. When I got here, he was ready for that job. So if you're going to be mad at anyone for Zach Strief leaving, be mad at the Saints. Be mad at Dennis Allen for not giving Zach that job outright to begin with. Because even if you ask Doug, he's ready for that job. He was ready for that job. When Doug walked in the room, he was ready for that job. So I don't know why you're upset about it. The Declan Doyle, I don't know. Were the Saints going to hire him as their tight ends coach? Maybe. But they pretty quickly transitioned to Clancy Barone. And I think that he fits the kind of profile of the coaches they hired a whole lot better than Declan Doyle did, which is they wanted to bring in established veteran coaches in Declan, while being, I think, a very good assistant in that role, he was not that. Sean was much more interested in bringing in people he knew, and so he brought in Declan Doyle. But in case you're wondering what DA thinks about this, here is what he had to say on Sean poaching his staff.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's part of the business. You know, it's part of what we deal with, and certainly, I knew that he had guys that were on the staff that he felt comfortable with, and was going to want to bring some guys with him, so we were aware of that, prepared for that, and yet he didn't get all the ones he wanted.
And that's true. He tried to hire Kevin Petrie. Kevin Petrie said, I'm going to stay in New Orleans. He's a Saints assistant. He's been there for a couple of years now. He's from this area, so I would have been surprised if he did leave. There is one person that you could be mad at in terms of taking a bunch of Saints staffers, and I don't think it's Sean, because all Sean did was hire the people that he found, that he pulled out of the woodwork. He drafted Zach Strief. He's told that story about how he called his coach at Northwestern to talk about somebody else, and the coach was like, no, that's Zach Strief. You should talk about him. He could play in your league. And Sean walked into the room, and he took the tag out of the UDFA part of the board, and he moved it over to the sixth round. They ended up taking him in the seventh round. So fast forward, 17 years or whatever, and what does Sean do when he has an offensive line assistant role? He hires Zach Strief into that role. So why wouldn't he have hired him? Like, the way you prevent that is by giving him the offensive line coach job again. But there is one person who you could be mad at, and that's Terry Fontenot up in Atlanta, right? Like, he left, and after leaving, goes and, signs all the Saints free agents, hires Ryan Nielsen, right? Like, that's the guy who actually messed up the Saints offseason this year, because I think they wanted to bring back David Onyemata, because they didn't want to take a $10 million cap hit with him leaving. But Terry Fontenot was like, nah, I got a checkbook and I'm willing to use it. And he signs him. They wanted to bring back Caden Ellis. Michael Hodges said that himself. He said, yeah, it was a bummer to see him leave. But guess what Terry did? Whips out the checkbook and says, I got the money. I'm not afraid to use it. Gives him 3 years, $21 million. So that's the frustrating one, because the Saints groomed him and then he left and start stealing all their stuff. So that's the guy. If you want to be mad at somebody, get mad at him. But no one's mad at him. They're only mad at Sean. It is what it is. But I can't be mad about it, right? Like, I see a guy get a promotion, I'm not going to be like, oh, how dare he not stay in New Orleans? Like, what do people expect him to do? Right? What's the alternative? Sean doesn't offer him the job out of principle, even though he thinks he's the best option. Zach gets offered a clear promotion to be a position coach from an assistant role, and you're like, nah, I'm loyal to Dennis Allen. No, come on. Be reasonable. Anyway, moving on to something that I think we'll all agree on is the outrage on the salary cap. And I talk about the salary cap a lot, and I'm not gonna throw shade at anyone in particular, even though you know exactly who I'm referring to. But the interesting thing is both DA and Mickey Loomis were asked about kind of the cap management this week and how they feel about it. And I thought Dennis Allen's answer was funny, because much like most of the fans who kind of just observe this from afar, you're like, I don't know how they do it, but I'm just glad it works. And that's essentially what Dennis Allen says here.
We were in way better shape this year than we were last year, right? Look, I think what Mickey and Kai are able to do in that regard is pretty cool. And really, had it not been for the COVID year, there really wouldn't be in the situation that we're in right now, but it's all part of, look, and most of that goes over my head. It takes somebody way smarter than me to figure out the salary cap. That's why we have Kai. But it's all part of how we handle our contracts and how we design our contracts, knowing that, restructures will be part of what we do.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, here's, you heard him reference Kai Harley there. Here's Mickey talking about Kai as well.
Huge asset. You know, Kai's one of the hidden secrets of the NFL, and I'm really glad we have him. He does a magnificent job, not just in terms of restructuring needles, but coming up with a plan for us, you know, to be able to handle not just this year, but the future years. Yeah, he's an asset for us and a guy that I really rely on.
And I think that's kind of what people forget when they get all up in arms about how can they keep doing this? How do they keep getting away with this? Is that it's not just them being like, you know, their head's on fire and they're like, we need to do this and we need to do this. There's a plan. Like, this is all planned. They go in 3-year cycles. And sure, if they were just going willy-nilly and being like, whatever, let's do it. No, this is all kind of structured in a way that is very much planned out from year to year to year. It's part of the reason that you look at, you talked about this a couple episodes ago when you're talking about free agency, and you know, they don't just like go out and negotiate with just random ideas of how much they're going to pay, right? They will go to agents and say, we want this guy. This is how we plan to use him. This is what we're willing to pay. Let us know. And in a lot of cases, you end up getting those guys because it's not about a bidding war a lot of the time. It's about being wanted. And I think that you benefit from having people who want to be in your building. That's what Colin Saunders was. That's what Nathan Shepard was. That's what Jamal Williams was, right? They're not going out and just saying, we'll pay you whatever you want. Come here. They're going out with a number. They're sticking to that number and they're bringing them in. And you do that because you have a plan. You have a structure. But it's easier to be mad. And we'll wrap after this. This is Mickey kind of talking about this. This is one of the first times I've heard him acknowledge all the anger. He's not on Twitter, right? I'm sure he just gets sent clips. But here he is talking about that.
It does get a reaction, I think, you know, unfairly sometimes. I don't think we're not the only team that does restructures and does things to create cap room. We all do it. I don't know why we get so much attention for it, but we have. Look, we have a plan going forward. Once in a while you get, a wrench thrown into those plans like COVID did to us a few years ago. And that created a bit of a problem, but we'll handle it going forward.
And there you have it. It's the way the Saints operate. They have a plan, and that plan includes a gambit to go get a quarterback, right? You had it last year and you took a shot with Deshaun Watson. Did not work out. He ended up in Cleveland. I think it's a good thing for the Saints that it did not work out. But that was going to mess with your cap table if it did, right? So you saw that they were willing to kind of go all in for a quarterback at that point, which is why when Derek Carr became available, you knew that was going to be the case again, because you've already demonstrated that it's like, we're going to go after a quarterback. And that's what they did, and they brought him in. And now that you've done that, now you can be more judicious. Like, you heard what Dennis Allen said of, we were in a better position this year than we were last year because you didn't get the quarterback. You stuck with Jameis Winston. You stuck with Taysom Hill. You stuck with Andy Dalton. You went with Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton, and you saved a good amount of money on that deal, and it helped you get a little bit lower. Next year, you're not going to be in a better situation, but you brought in the quarterback, and that was the plan all along. You would have been in a worse cap situation this year if you had managed to get Deshaun Watson. So you're just looking at this and saying, how can you do what you need to do? And one thing that I think is very true, and I've seen Raph Marlboro from the Saints Happy Hour podcast, he says this all the time, and I think it's true. The salary cap does exist, but it does not prevent you from doing what you want to do. It prevents you from doing everything you want to do. You have to make decisions. You have to figure out what's worth it and what's not. Quarterback, worth it. A $60 million safety, not worth it. Simple, right? Apparently not. But here's one last clip, and it is Dennis Allen basically saying what I just said.
And yet, look, the salary cap's real, you know, and so Yeah, so it, like, you can't go out and do all the things that you might want to do. You know, we have to be selective in how we go about our business and free agency. And so, but yet we've always been that way.
Couldn't have said it better myself. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. Came at you solo today. Follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. We will be back at it on Monday. We'll get Steve Geller back for that one. Let me know. Hit me up on Twitter if you want to hear about anything specific. We're kind of entering the dead season of the NFL, so we're going to be kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for ideas. So if there's anything you want to hear about, if you have topics, if you want us to dive in on something specific, let me know, and I will gladly do it. Again, that's at Jeff_Nowak. You could hit me up on email if you'd like. It's my full name, JeffReynowak@odyssey.com. Let me know. Tell your friends. Tell your dog. Make sure everyone's subscribed if you have not already. And we'll be back at you early next week. Thanks, y'all. Go UConn. Peace.